I love when I get a chance to meet with Christian people, especially adults, to open the scriptures and for us to dig in and ask the question, what is the Bible really saying? Or what does God actually say in his word for us? So I want to do that today, look at something where, look at what God is actually saying to us and what we can learn from that. And I understand, too, though, you're going through a series, New Year, New You. And I don't think it's too late in the year to already say, or to say now, Happy New Year. Is that all right? Happy New Year? I mean, it's my first time to say it to y'all, so, you know, it's not that far into the year, and it is a new year, and we have this opportunity for it to be a new you. And I think it's true that you will not be this year who you were last year. I mean, the experiences you're going to have, what you've had so far this year, you're already somebody you're not who you were last year. You're somebody new. This is a new year. And as the year goes on, I think we all have opportunities to really kind of live one way or another, really to follow one path or another. And it's all the little steps and little experiences and little decisions that we're going to make and all that has to do with who or what we're following. So as I understand it, you're in a series right at the beginning of this year, and this new year, new you, but basically looking at your identity in Jesus Christ. And so Steve has already gone talked about a couple of weeks ago that we are saints. Some of you remember that. Last week, we are adopted. And next week, Steve's going to look at we are overcomers. Well, this week, I want us to settle in and look at this idea that we are followers. So that's our theme for today. And I'm going to take the passage, a few verses from John 10, one of the famous passages, ones that it's familiar to a lot of you. It's one of my favorites. That's where Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, right? And he uses that whole metaphor about being good shepherd. And I just want to say just how grateful I am that Jesus didn't say, I am the good cowboy. I'll explain what I mean. Because I think a lot of us, and I'll say us because I keep following into this, that I think a lot of us think of God as a good cowboy rather than a good shepherd. And we're going to talk about the difference. So how many of you are familiar with sheep? You've worked with sheep. You know, there was only one. Well, there you go. Okay, there's a couple of people. Great, good. And but how many of you have worked with cows? See, there's often a lot more people who are familiar with cows, maybe just this part of the world, I don't know. And maybe we're a little more, maybe we've seen, there's a lot more movies about cowboys. They just are more cool, aren't they? I mean, you don't kind of get the, you know, the macho image of the shepherd. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, John Wayne movies where he's a shepherd, you know. He's always a cowboy. The cool guys, Clint Eastwood is a cowboy. He's not a shepherd, right? So we're far more familiar with cows. You know, in fact, I tell you, I'm working with Young Life. Young Life is one of the world's largest camping organizations, and you might have heard of some of our camps. For instance, we have this camp called Malibu up the coast of British Columbia, and it's one of the premier camps. Young Life is in about 80 countries in the world, and in every country there are camps that Young Life owns. In the United States, there's about 27 camps that are, and some of them will be camps for 500 people a week throughout the summer. So these are huge. Camping ministry is huge. So we used to always go to Malibu, and you know, one of the things is you invite people to experience or understand the good news of following Christ as Lord and Savior. As you explain that to people, one of the things you want to do is give them opportunities to be quiet and alone and maybe think about it and maybe think and pray for the first time. And so sometimes we'd send people off in a silent time at Malibu. And so often people would report back, they'd say, you know, I've never prayed before, but I was sitting there on the dock and I prayed and I said, God, if you're real, show me a sign. And a seal popped up and looked at them. And the number of people who came back and said, oh, like I became a Christian, that was the sign. I thought, you know, I often thought, well, that's kind of silly. You know, what if a seal doesn't pop up? You know, well, whatever it takes, great, as long as you can grow in Christ from there, you know. So, but then we moved to another camp. And now a lot of the Young Life Canadian kids go to a camp called Rockridge. It's in the interior of British Columbia. And but there we had no seals. We didn't have an ocean. And some of the Young Life leaders would say, what are we going to do? If we send kids on a silent time, there won't be a seal popping up to convince them to become Christians. Well, Rockridge Canyon is a ranch. And there's not many cattle there anymore, but when we first started, for the first about 7 years, there was about 200 cows that were on the property that for, constantly, they were there right beside us, the cows kind of going throughout the camp there. And so I had this idea. I said, well, we don't have any seals, but there's cows there. And other people were saying, what are we going to do if we send people out for a silent time? It won't be silent. The cows are mooing all the time. So okay, I had this idea. Why don't we send them out? We'll just tell them, why don't you pray? If it's the very first time, why don't you pray this? Who should become a Christian? And you might hear the Lord say, you. I thought that'd be a much better thing. No. We didn't do it, you know, because that's silly, but... but we're more familiar with cows than sheep, I think. And so I think even we do have this idea of what cows are like. Because the difference between cows and sheep is it's worlds apart. It's actually the opposite, I think. And so and Jesus could have said, I'm the good cowboy. People would have understood cows. There were cattle. There was cowboys, you know, at the time of Jesus. And so, but he said, I'm the good shepherd. Because if you understand it, the way cows operate is you get behind them and push them along. Whereas for sheep, you get in front of them and lead them. You call out, and especially the older ones follow because they know the master's voice, and the younger ones follow along too, especially following the older ones as they're getting to know the shepherd's voice. But I think we keep forgetting that that's who Christ is. He is, God in Christ is the good shepherd, not the good cowboy. You know, we think because the way you operate with cows is that you get behind them, you know, and you shout and you clang. I can't do that really loud. I won't. It hurts you. You know, like you whistle loud. You get behind them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You little cows, let's go. You little doggy. That's what you do to motivate cows because they need a lot of motivation. I mean, have you watched cows? I mean, they just stand there. You got to really get their attention. But I think a lot of people think that's what God's like. They think that God is behind us, kind of like, come on, what's wrong with you? Get going. Come on, you know, it's a new year. Set some goals. You gotta do this. And how come you're not praying enough? How come you're not going to church enough? How come you made that mistake again? What's wrong with you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he confessed that sometimes you think that's what God is like. I want to help you understand he's not. He is not behind you, kind of abusing you. He is out front, and he does want to lead you somewhere, but as the good shepherd, not the good cowboy. Yeah, another experience with cows. I was a tree planter for university days to earn money to go to school, and so we'd go up to the north, we'd go to Prince George, and we'd go planting. You go out for a few weeks, plant, and you come back into Prince George. And one time, I'd gone out, and I was on one crew, and my girlfriend at the time, whom I'm married to now, it's always a good thing to marry your girlfriend. That's good. So she was on another crew, and so we were out planting for several weeks. You're out of contact, no cell phones at the time. And so we come back into town, and as we're getting close to the city, you know, I stop at a payphone and say, well, you know, where's Liz? Is she out? I phone her home, because that's her home, is Prince George. And they say, well, her parents say, well, no, they actually hadn't even left. So today, their whole crew that was waiting for their contract to go out and work, they've gone to a friend's place, a church friend's ranch, and they're doing helping with his cattle all day. Oh, so that was on the outskirts, and so we ended up going straight there. We arrived there, you know, expecting this big working ranch. Well, it was kind of quiet, and there wasn't a lot going on, and we walk around the property, and we finally find the homes, and there's this area and a pen and so on, but there's no cows anywhere. And here's this old guy just standing there, and he's kind of looking out in the distance. And so we come along, and we say, hi, I'm James. I'm Liz's boyfriend. I hear Liz and her crew are here. And he goes, yep, they're working my cows. I said, okay, well, I don't see any cows. He says, well, you look down here, and there's this valley going out in front of us, down below into this little creek down below, and then it slopes back up to a hill beyond. And it's a long way away. It's a long slope down and a long slope up. And he says, well, any minute, about 300 head of cattle, my cows are going to come over that hill, and they're going to come down towards that creek. And you see way down there, there's Liz and her two girlfriends. They're standing there, and their job is to keep the cows out of the creek. And I'm thinking, what? He said, yeah, I told them they're going to jump up and down and make sure the cows don't go in the creek. My brain is starting to click. What? 300 cows come over the ridge down, charging towards the bottom of this valley, towards my girlfriend. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's the end of her. I guess I'll have to get a different girlfriend, you know. because they're going to trample her. And I could tell, and Liz told me later, this is what happened. The girls, they just froze. I mean, can you imagine seeing 300 cows coming right at you down a hill, and they're like, and then it's like something clicked in. It's like, oh, yeah, we're supposed to do this, and this is what he said would save our lives. So they just started going, yeah, like this, jumping up and down. And the cows, because they're cows, they're coming, all they know is, because somebody, cowboys were behind them, forcing them over this hill. They're going, like this, and they suddenly see this, and they went that way around to the bridge. And then we got them into a pen, into an area, a corral, and then we did horrible things to them. And I'm not going to talk about those now. I'm going to talk about those tonight with, because younger people love to hear about that. So, but the point is, sometimes we think that, even the way we think of the day. When you think of this, the day, you know, for the Hebrew people, the day begins at sundown. You know that? That's when the new day begins, when the sun goes down. And think about this. Your day begins with you going to sleep. I think that's a beautiful spiritual principle. Because a lot of us in the West, we wake up with this idea that, okay, God's been sitting there twiddling his thumbs while we're sleeping, waiting for the day to begin. You know? And we're out, it's like we're out front. And we say, okay, God, I'm awake now. Here's the day. Here's what I've got planned. Try to keep up. And meanwhile, I kind of know you're behind me like a good cowboy, kind of, you know, keeping me and yelling at me, you know, to keep me in the straight and narrow, you know. See, the Hebrew idea of the day is that you wake up and it's halfway through the day. And the better idea is to say, okay, God, you're halfway through your day. What have you been up to? I'd like to get in on it. This is a good spiritual principle. God's the good shepherd. He's out in front. So that's the picture that Jesus gives us in this John 10. So let's have a look. If you've got your Bibles, open them up. We're looking at just the first several verses of John chapter 10, where he talks about just facts about sheep and shepherds. So he says, I tell you the truth, a person, this is John 10, verse 1, a person does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in. The person who does that, who climbs in up by another way, that person's a thief and a robber. You know, so people listen to that, yeah, okay, Jesus, yeah, we get it. Yeah, that's true. Sheep, pens, we know about that. You know, in our community, in Jesus' time, people would be thinking, yeah, there's a community pen, and everybody puts their sheep in there. Who are passing through, maybe selling them, maybe trading them, maybe raising them, taking the pasture back and forth. We all put them into the pen at night together in one common pen. All the shepherds put all of our sheep together in one big pen in the town. Yeah, we know about that. We know there's only one gate, Jesus. Yep, okay, we get that. And yeah, if a thief were to crawl in another way rather than through the gate, yeah, they're a thief. And yeah, we get that, Jesus. Okay, yeah. And then he says, the person, in fact, who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Only shepherds get through the gate. They say, yeah, we get that, because there's a watchman that stands at the gate and will only let the shepherd in. So they're guarding. Imagine, you're going to trust all your sheep into the common pen with everybody else's sheep to this watchman, and then you're going to go to the inn and sleep, because maybe you're passing through that town to get to the pasture. You know, and then the next day you're going to come and knock on the door. So the watchman opens the little gate. And he says, yes, I'm the shepherd here to get my sheep. He goes, oi, I recognize you. Great. Anybody else is a thief. They're sneaking in away and stealing sheep. So, okay, yeah, we get that, Jesus. That makes sense. And then he talks about how the shepherds are recognized not just by the gatekeeper, but also by the sheep themselves. He says, and the sheep, this is the second half of verse 3, the sheep listen to that one's voice, only their own shepherd's voice. Because he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them all out, just his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Again, they say, yeah, that's how it works, Jesus. Yeah, you're telling the truth. You're just telling us facts about sheep and shepherds. We all know that, because that's how it would work. Knock on the door. Gatekeeper says, yeah, I recognize you. You're one of the shepherds. I know I got your sheep in here. Yeah, come on in. And so he'd enter in, and then he would just call his sheep by certain sounds. You know, like for my kids, over the years, I've trained them to know my whistle. You know, if we're in a mall or something, you know, or we're at the park or something, and I just go, their heads pop. That's my dad. And now they're teenagers, so, you know, I don't have to do that anymore. I mean, but I sometimes I do it just to see if they still get it, and they do. You know, so the shepherd, my kids know my sound. The sheep would know the sound. Maybe it's a special call. Maybe it's a special. They know his voice, his sound, even his smell, and especially the older ones would know him best. And so some of the younger ones, as they're getting to know the shepherd's voice, they would even follow the older ones whom they know. And so a shepherd could walk into this common pen with hundreds of sheep and call his 20 out just by going, his sound. That's different than any other shepherd's sound. But likewise, it says he knows their name. It's like he's got nicknames for all of them. You know, hey, old floppy ears and, you know, curly, you know, he's got little nicknames. And they know his voice. Well, God knows our name, doesn't he? And getting to know him takes discipline and takes years. It doesn't just happen. The sheep don't just automatically know the shepherd's voice. It takes time to build that relationship, to get to know him. And that's what the Christian life is all about. You see, I believe that God has a plan, a specific plan. It's the same plan for every single one of us. It is that we will grow it to become the leaders that he wants for his church. He means for all of us to grow to be leaders. We can all be leading someone else who's just a little behind us, who's a little behind us on the journey of knowing and following Jesus Christ. So he wants all of us to be leaders, to grow. To be leaders, we need to be wise and mature. But that takes time and discipline. You know, I like to tell somebody, tell people, there's no have-tos. I don't believe there's any have-tos in the Christian life. I just don't like using that kind of language because people often, they rebel against that, especially young people that I've worked with most of my life. You know, you have to do this. Well, that's the last thing I'll do then, you know. So I like to say we get to, because I think that is the Christian life. I think God does want us all to grow in wisdom and maturity. And we get to do that. We get to let him do that in our lives. We get to become leaders in his kingdom. And it takes discipline. It takes the discipline of being in his word. So I like to say, you don't have to read your Bible, but you get to. Anytime you want to listen to the voice of God speaking directly to you, you get to open the scriptures and listen to God speak to you. Why wouldn't you want to do that? You don't have to go to church. But you know, all over the city right now, all over the world, today, there's people gathering together. And we get to worship together. And we even pool our money so we can set aside people to prepare a wonderful time of gathering, to prepare the music and worship, to prepare a listening to God's word to come and help us listen to what God is saying in his word. We set people aside to do that. We get to all gather, get out of our homes and get here, and we get to do that because these are the disciplines that will help us grow in wisdom and maturity. We get to pray. We get to go serve him. We get to go to Mexico and other places. We get to look at the bulletin and see the opportunities to serve, and we get to join in with others and serve because these are the things that will help us grow. We get to do that, and we do that by following Jesus. It's a life of this trajectory of growing to become the wise and mature leaders he wants us to be. And there are people out front of you. There are people who've been doing this longer. They know his voice. They've been following him longer. They know him even better than you do. And you can watch them. And there are people watching you. You get to turn around and mentor others as well. We get to do that. It's God's plan for your life. And there's lots of different ways that we're going to do that, lots of individual ways and lots of experiences we go through on that path where he is shaping us. But all of it in the context, I believe, of the loving, tender, beautiful, good shepherd who is out front. He's not behind us, abusing us, corralling us. Maybe some people have a picture. That's what church is like. God's the good cowboy, and he corrals me into the church to get abused. That's not what it is. Rather, the good shepherd leading us out, and he goes ahead of us, and he is going ahead of us today. He's going ahead of us, and he's already there in in our marriages, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our city, at your workplace, at your place of school and learning. He's there. He's there, and he's leading you there. You know, so when you wake up tomorrow, say, God, I'm halfway through my day. You're already halfway through your day. How do I get in on what you're doing? And how will that, because I want to follow you where you want to lead me, and these experiences where I get to serve you so that I can know you better and love you better. So that's what Jesus is talking about here. So, but they didn't get it. If you look at verse 6, so John 10, verse 6, John tells us, Jesus was using a figure of speech. Okay, obviously. He's using this metaphor. But they didn't get it, he says, when he was talking to them. Therefore, Jesus says to them, look, I'm telling you the truth. I am that gate that I talked about. You know there's a gate for the pen? I'm the gate for the sheep. And whoever comes before me, you know, they're thieves and robbers. But the sheep don't listen to them. The sheep of God don't listen to thieves and robbers. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And he will come and go and find pasture. So we'll come in and move out. We'll come into the pen and go out into the world as the shepherd leads us in times of retreat and times of mission. That's what he's doing, and we follow him in that. So, likewise, he explains about the thieves and destroyers. As I said, verse 8, all who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep don't listen to them. Verse 10, the thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life in all its full. A lot of us have memorized that verse, John 10:10. I have come that you might have life to the full. And that is the full life. It's knowing, loving, serving, following Jesus. That's how we grow into the full life. That's how we get filled up with life, the life of wisdom and maturity, so that we can be the leaders he wants us to be for whoever we get to mentor and bring along as we become older and wiser and mature sheep. So then he says that he himself is the good shepherd. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Hired hands, they're not shepherds. They're not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when a hired hand sees a wolf coming, they'll abandon the sheep, run away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock gets scattered. Man runs away because he's just a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. We get to become more and more familiar with his voice. But I think it's imperative. I think it's vital that we keep that picture in mind. Because I tend to wake up every day somehow getting converted to an idea that God is a good cowboy behind me abusing me, but rather to wake up and be reminded he's the good shepherd out front leading us somewhere. And what a promise that he is with us, the beautiful, loving, good shepherd, shepherding us, taking us somewhere. You know, as I said, you are not going to be who you were this year as you were last year. You're new. It's a new year. This church is not going to be the same church it was last year. This city is not going to be the same spiritually as it was last year. And we get to follow the Good Shepherd as he is out doing his work in your heart, in this church, in this city, in the world. We get to get in on it if we will follow the Good Shepherd. That's what we get to do. I think that's beautiful. I think it's good news. He says in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And that's just not just one day. That eternal life is right now. It means this abundant life right now and on to eternity. And they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So that's what the Good Shepherd is doing for us as well. There might be some twists and turns that happen this year. Maybe they've already been happening for you. We often say that you are either in the middle of a crisis, or you're just coming out of one, or you're about to go into one. That's life. So there's going to be some twists and turns, but the Good Shepherd is right in front of you. And as you get to know his voice, following the spiritual disciplines of practicing, learning his voice, learning to know him, he will lead you through this abundant life this year, and you will grow in wisdom and maturity. That's what we get to do. Are you up for it? Are you excited about it? Are you interested? Then let's get to know him better. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this picture that you are a good shepherd. We don't need to worry. We don't need to be dismayed. We can follow you. And we just are so grateful for your promises that you are with us. You are present. Even no matter how hard it might be, you're there and you're right in front of us. Lord, help us to get to know those sheep who have known you longer. Help us to follow those. Lord, give us mentors in our lives that we could follow them. Lord, grow us that we might also be the kind of mentors to help others along. We thank you for home groups and programs that are helping us and shaping us. We thank you for this church that provides the leadership and programs that are there to shape us, to give us the health, to give us the holiness, to give us the perspective and the knowledge of who you are, and health for our lives to grow in that wisdom and maturity. Let us pray that you'd give us by your Holy Spirit a conviction to follow you this year. You, the Good Shepherd. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.